to start without. I don't want to start with our main text. I'm going to read a couple things that lead up to it. From Mark chapter 13, beginning in verse 32, Jesus said, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch." Matthew 24, beginning verse 36. "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." And then Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. "He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.'" Our world seems to be going crazy. It's getting worse, I think, in many ways. It seems that way. Persecution of the church is growing wild. Christian preachers are being arrested in England. It'll soon be illegal in Canada to use scripture to talk about marriage and sexuality if someone complains. And even here, there's more increasing pressure against Christianity, even from within what is viewed as the church. And people will wonder, why isn't God doing something? Why does God allow all these things to go on? But it has to do with God's patience, because a day is set that the Lord is coming again to bring this world to an end and bring everyone to judgment, to usher in the new heaven and the new earth. God has that already set. And so as he's dealing with people up until that time, God is patient with people, giving people plenty of opportunity to repent. And so our text today is 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. Peter wrote, "Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." It's that last word people hate, repentance. For many people and many Christians, the attitude is, "Well, Jesus died, paid for my sins, so I can sin all I want." But if you read through the scriptures, especially the New Testament, but the Old Testament too, where the Israelites thought, "Oh, we're the chosen people," but they refused to repent of their sins, and they were always punished severely for it, and many times destroyed. And so it will be come Judgment Day. If people are unrepentant and don't turn to follow Christ, that day will be a horrible day. A horrible day where they will receive the blunt end or the sharp end of God's wrath. It says he is patient, not wanting anyone to perish. And so this world goes on of people doing insane things, stupid things, anti-God things, anti-Christ things, and they seem to go on unperturbed, but God doesn't stomp on them. But we see God at work all around our world, I'm convinced. I was reading yesterday about worms. You know, there are several kinds of worms now that are devastating. Some, if you pick them up, you'll get poisoned. But there's now some worms in a number of states, and especially the state of California, that marvelous liberal state, where worms are now destroying the soil and where plants cannot get the nutrients because of these worms, and it's becoming a problem. There are fires frequently. There are earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes. They've always been here. And Scripture tells us that this will go on until the end. But these things happen, including our own suffering, our own poor health, and our own death, to remind us of our fallen state as human beings and our need for God. It's all there because of our need for God. And when people are sinning and doing terrible things and doing sins against humanity, and God seems to step back and not do anything, we realize God is at work, but his work is trying to reach people to save them, not to condemn them. Jesus said when he came into this world, I didn't come to condemn the world, but rather to save the world. He came to rescue. And those who refuse to be rescued will not be rescued. But those who come to him must come in repentance, and he will indeed rescue. He goes on in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Going along with the other passages, when the Lord comes again, it's going to be unmistakable. But just like the thief, if you knew he was going to come at, say, 2 o'clock in the morning, you'd be up and ready for him. And so the Lord keeps reminding us, be watching, be ready for the Lord's return. Because you don't know when it's going to be. You can't prepare specifically for the moment he's coming. But when he does, everybody's going to know it. The heavens will disappear with a roar. It's going to be deafening. The heavens. We read about that, don't we? We see pictures online. And all that will be gone. The elements, talking about the earth, everything will be destroyed by fire. The earth and everything in it will be laid bare. And he says in verse 11, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Speed its coming. I don't think he's saying that that day will come sooner, but rather for us as we're anticipating his return, we will not be shocked by it. We'll be ready for his return. And so we look forward to that day, and because that time could come at any time, we ought to live our lives in holy and godly ways. Not living like the world, not being part of the problem of this world, but rather endeavoring to follow the things that God tells us in his word. Because you see, God is eternal. And so the things he tells us in his word stand eternal as well. They're never outdated. The things that God said are God's values that we are to adopt for ourselves in order to please him and walk with him and live in this relationship that he's made possible for us through Jesus Christ. But if we choose to reject that, he goes on in verse 12 and says, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, my dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. For us as Christians, we need to work on growing in our ability to serve Christ, to walk with Him and know Him. It's got to be an effort. He says, make every effort. You know, just people say, oh, I'm saved, so I'm good. Well, we're saved in order to grow and mature. It's not about getting a free ticket to heaven, but it's about beginning to walk in relationship with God. Because eternity is going to be about righteousness. And if righteousness is not important to us here, we're not going to be part of it there. Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Why make every effort? Because we're not good at being spotless. It doesn't come natural. We're not good at being blameless. We're sinners. And we're not good at being peace with the Lord because we're sometimes so very selfish. And we listen to other voices. And so the command is make every effort. We have to work at being a Christian. We have to work at pleasing God according to His word, not our ideas or will. Keeping in mind, as we're growing as Christians, and we see around us people not caring, keep in mind that the Lord's patience means salvation, opportunity for other people to come to know Jesus Christ. Some of the most horrible people in this world may yet come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And some of the most nice, beautiful people in this world may never accept Him and miss out totally. We don't know where all the Holy Spirit's working, but we know He works through the Word. He works through His people in order to seek and save the lost. He goes on and says, our dear brother Paul wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. You know, we see many, many Christians in our day and age abusing the Word of God so that they can go on with the sins that they want to do. Well, it's nothing new. That was even going on in the first century. But notice what Peter says here. These people are ignorant and unstable, mentally, spiritually. They distort to their own destruction. When people say, oh, well, God is love and He accepts everybody as they are and they don't have to change, they can enjoy their sin. Well, they can enjoy their sin, but they're going to hell. Peter couldn't say it any plainer than what he did. Therefore, he says in verse 17, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. Notice what he says. We need to be on our guard so we don't fall into those ways of thinking that are distorted. Because if we do, we fall from our secure position. If we walk away from the truth and chase after the lies and the sin that goes with those lies, and those lies are sin, then we lose our position with Christ. Jesus didn't die on that cross just so we could go living in sin. He died on that cross so we could be His and live with Him and for Him in this life and forever. And so he says in verse 18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's a command. We're to grow in God's grace. That is, taking advantage of what God has given us through Christ to grow in relationship with Him, even as we struggle and we're still imperfect, and we will be until we leave this world. We appreciate that grace, not to go on sinning, but that grace to keep on keeping on, as Mildred used to say. Keep on keeping on, growing in relationship with Him, developing, maturing, which takes us back to Ephesians chapter 4. Growing up into Christ, who is the head. To Him Peter concludes, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You see, it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's not what we want. It's not us wanting to have God approve of our behavior, but rather we want God's approval for us because we're doing what He wants. Our behavior needs to be what He wants, not what we want. I don't know about you, but I can be selfish. Shh. Don't talk to her. I can be mean sometimes. I can be really, really a jerk sometimes. But you know what? You learn and you grow and you learn. And when you do stupid things, you do foolish things, you do selfish things, as a Christian you realize it, you feel the guilt of it, and you go to the Lord and you seek His forgiveness, and the Lord is ready to forgive, always ready to forgive, but He says, now let's keep moving on and try not to do that again, but rather replace those attitudes, replace that selfishness, replace that behavior with that which God wants you to have and to do. Because it is about God wanting to save us. God wants to save us. And we are saved as Christians. But we can desert that. We can desert the ship. We can jump back into the sin of this world, just like jumping off a ship into the sea. We can do that. That's what Paul said, or Peter says here. Be on your guard. Don't be carried away by the errors of this world, the lawless men of this world, and fall from your secure position. We have to be very careful because God is patient, not just with you and me, but God is patient with every sinner in this world. God is patient, believe it or not, with our government. God is patient with the leaders of Iran. God is patient with the people of England and Canada and the Philippines and all the African nations. God is patient with people wanting to save as many people as possible because God loves the world, the people. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, which is where everybody's going to hell. He came to save, so rather than perish, we can have the gift of eternal life. That's God's purpose. The day of judgment is coming. It is set. And when that day comes, there's no more option for people. No more opportunity. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. For those of us who have the Lord, we're going to be confessing and rejoicing. But those who don't have the Lord are going to be admitting defeat and loss because they did not recognize and did not care to follow God. And they rejected in this life God's patience toward them. They were so busy living how they wanted to live that they ignored the consequences of their sin. God is patient. God is patient. But you know what? For human beings, ever since Adam and Eve, we die. The Lord hasn't come back a second time yet for Judgment Day. And the chances are you and I will die before He comes again. Now, we don't know that. We don't know when He's going to come. But chances are, looking at all of history, you and I could die before Jesus comes again. But the point being, the day of judgment comes when the Lord brings this world to an end. But our life comes to an end here when we die. And how we have chosen, whether we have chosen to live with God or we've chosen to reject His patience and His call to repentance, that is decided when we've drawn our last breath. Let us listen to the call of the Lord. Let us make sure that we're walking with Him. And if we're already Christians, Let us make sure we're still striving to grow in relationship with Him. We'll never be perfect. We need Him. We need one another. We need His Word. We need His Spirit. But for those who don't know the Lord at all, aren't committed to Him at all, they need to hear Him calling. He's still seeking the lost. And He seeks the lost largely through His people and the message that we're to share and the witness of our own life that we're to share. Jesus is calling. He's tenderly calling people home because He loves each and every one. The day of wrath is not for God to stand there and say, oh, well, you were a bad person. I condemn you. The day of wrath is God being so angry at people that because they spurned His love, they spurned the price He paid for them because they were just caught up in themselves. That's why God will be so angry. I saved you and you didn't care. But He'll look at us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come into the place I've prepared for you. Not because necessarily we turned the world upside down, but because we followed. We listened. We grew. We trusted. And it's the Lord then that makes us perfect. Right now we're going to sing a hymn. It's not the one in the bulletin. I did a little last minute change, but I think Deanna's got it in the projection for Matt. It's number 327 in the hymn book, if you want to use that. It's called Jesus is Calling. And He's always calling because He loves and wants to save people. Let's stand together, shall we? So we can sing verses 1, 3, and 4.